appearances in the matter of Anna Ramona Tolentino. May we please have appearances of counsel, starting with the OAE.
Good afternoon. Amanda Figlin, Deputy Ethics Counsel, Office of Attorney Ethics.
Good afternoon. Anna Ramona Tolentino. I am an attorney and I'm representing myself.
Good afternoon. Ms. Figlin, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chief Justice and Associate Justices of the Court. The OAE agrees with the unanimous recommendation of the Disciplinary Review Board and the findings of the Special Ethics Master that respondent should be disbarred for knowingly misappropriating escrow funds. The DRB and the Special Master both found that respondent violated other RPC provisions in addition to engaging in knowing misappropriation of escrow funds. The OAE is going to focus its argument solely on the knowing misappropriation charge. The OAE also received a last-minute brief from respondent on Friday, last Friday at the close of business, claiming that respondent had sought or was seeking a review of the DRB decision, and she claimed that there was a conflict in the DRB decision because Judge Gallipoli should have recused himself due to a conflict with her mother who had sat on the Hudson County bench. The OAE's position on this is simply that this issue could have been raised prior to the determination of the DRB decision, since respondent knew at oral argument on September 23rd, 2021, of Judge Gallipoli's presence. Instead, she did not raise this issue either at oral argument or subsequently, and she has waited until the day before, essentially the day before her Supreme Court argument, to raise this issue. So we asked the court to deny her motion with regard to also her concerns about the remote hearing. She was advised as early as November 2020 that she could file a brief with this court to address that concern, and she has not, until again last Friday, raised this with the court.
Ms. Figlin, this is a de novo review at this point.
Yes.
So we're here in person, and this is the panel that will decide the case. Are these issues that were raised relevant for purposes of this court's de novo review?
They are issues that were raised, again, on Friday. The OAE is just addressing them. I'm not quite sure what relief she was even seeking. The court obviously can consider, you know, any issue, essentially, a scheduling issue, her claim that she had an opportunity.
Oh, I was asking a slightly different question.
Okay.
Because this is a de novo review, do those arguments, and I'll ask Ms. Tolentino the same question, resonate in this hearing?
The OAE does not believe so, no. The OAE believes that the facts before this matter on the order show cause are the determination of the disciplinary review, which is a unanimous determination. So we believe that this court will be considering the DRB decision and the findings of the Special Ethics Master, and that the issues that she raised should have been raised below before the DRB at the time or raised before the Special Master, and they should not be considered.
Please go ahead.
In this matter, in 2017, respondent was representing landlord-tenant clients, Mr. and Mrs. Nelson, who were facing eviction from the home where they resided in Newark, New Jersey. Respondent agreed to represent these clients in their efforts to purchase the property for $175,000 in cash from the bank who owned the property. When the bank advised respondent in June 2017 that the deal had not closed and that her clients needed to vacate the property, respondent reached out to the Nelson's real estate broker, Barrington Palmer, and also spoke with an individual named Getra Messino. Respondent learned in a June 15, 2017 phone call with Palmer and Messino that Messino had agreed to give Nelson the money so that Nelson could acquire the property from the bank in cash. Nelson agreed that after he acquired the property from the bank, he would immediately transfer that property to Messino on the same day in a separate transaction. Nelson would ultimately rent the property from Messino. Also during that June 15, 2017 phone call, respondent told Palmer and Messino that the bank was telling her that Nelson needed to vacate the property since it had not purchased the property by the contract deadline. It was agreed in that phone call between respondent Palmer and Messino that Messino would transfer 20% of the purchase price of the property to a bank account maintained by the respondent so that respondent could represent to the bank that she was holding $35,000 of funds in escrow as a down payment for the transaction. The purpose of this was to extend time to purchase the property and to show the bank that Nelson had the ability to buy the property. Messino obtained a cashier's check for $35,000 made payable to Anna Tolentino. The account where Messino's $35,000 was deposited on or about June 19, 2017, was the New Jersey Uniform Transfers to Minors Act bank account in the name of Tolentino's son. Respondent was the custodian of that UTMA account, and she used that account to receive deposits from Social Security for her son and to pay her personal expenses and the personal expenses of her son. This was an active personal bank account. Between June 19, 2017 and November 14, 2017, Tolentino should have been holding at least $35,000 of Messina's funds inviolate for the real estate transaction. Instead, within 4 days of receiving Messina's funds, respondent withdrew $5,000 in cash, creating a shortage of approximately $4,800 by the end of the month. After taking the $5,000 withdrawal in cash in late June 2017, over the next 4 months, respondent made 24 additional ATM withdrawals, cash withdrawals, and transfers to another personal bank account. None of the withdrawals was for more than $3,000 at a time. Respondent continued to make some deposits into her son's UTMA account, but the overall shortage in that account kept growing. By October 31, 2017, the account balance in the UTMA account had dropped down close to $20,000. It was short almost $15,000. In late October 2017, after the bank advised that time was up for the Nelsons to acquire the property, Messina's attorney, Edward Sorotsky, demanded in an email to respondent on November 1, 2017, that Messina's $35,000 deposit be returned to Messina. Respondent opened an attorney trust account, transferred $20,000 into that account from the UTMA account, then paid $20,000 back to Messina on November 21, 2017. Respondent told Sorotsky she would not return the $15,000 balance of the deposit, claiming that Messina and other parties had an obligation to pay her counsel fees. Respondent filed a lawsuit against Messina, Palmer, and Mr. and Mrs. Nelson in Essex County Special Civil Part, claiming that these defendants owed her $15,000 for her counsel fees. Her claims against Messina were dismissed in June 2018, and she was ordered by the Special Civil Part judge to return $15,000 to Messina immediately. After transferring $15,000 from a personal bank account in her name into her attorney trust account, she cut the check to Messina for $15,000 and returned his funds on or about June 27, 2018. When Tolentino removed funds from the UTMA during the four-month period, she knew she was taking Messina's funds, and she took those funds without the authorization of Messina and without the authorization of any other party to the real estate transaction. Because she was holding deposit monies for a real estate transaction, as stated in Holland Honor, she needed the permission of Messina, her client, and the bank before she could take any portion of those funds. No party gave her permission to remove any funds from the deposit. Here the evidence shows that respondents' misappropriations were knowing, not negligent. At the hearing, respondent admitted to the special ethics master that when she took $5,000 from the UTMA account on June 23, 2017, she knew that she was taking Messina's funds. She also admitted that when she removed approximately $9,000 in additional funds out of the UTMA account, that those were also Messina's funds. At her demand interview, she claimed that she moved Messina's funds out of the UTMA to hold the funds for future payment of her legal fees. For the 4 months that she should have been holding Messina's funds intact, she wasn't confused about which funds in the UTMA account were personal and which funds were Messina's. She had only a small amount of funds in her son's UTMA account in June 2017, when Messina's $35,000 was deposited. The special ethics master calculated that Ms. Tolentino had only about $300 in the UTMA account when she received Messina's funds. Respondent could also certainly see, without doing a formal reconciliation, that the balance in the UTMA had dropped below $35,000. Despite the Office of Attorney Ethics requests for respondent to disclose the other locations where she claimed she was holding Messina's escrow funds after taking funds out of the UTMA account, respondent did not produce any records to show that she was holding Messina's funds intact in some other account under her control. Moreover, there was no reason for her to remove funds from herself to hold as a security for her legal fees. She was already holding all of the funds and she had control over those funds. At the disciplinary hearing, respondent's story changed, and she claimed for the first time that she had transferred the $15,000 to another attorney to hold an escrow. Her claims that she was holding funds safely in the escrow account of another attorney were not credible or believable. Respondent would not identify the attorney who was supposedly holding the $15,000 for her, and she produced no records showing that the funds had been deposited and held by another attorney. Moreover, the pattern of her withdrawals from the UTMA account was not consistent with her testimony. She said she took funds in 3 installments. However, the account showed numerous withdrawals for small amounts, some in cash, some in ATM withdrawals. In her brief to the DRB and in her brief to the Supreme Court, her story changed again, and she claimed that in June 2017, she, Messino, Nelson, and Palmer specifically agreed that she could take $15,000 directly from Messino's $35,000 to pay her legal fees. Regardless of whether she was holding the $15,000 in some other account or whether she'd spent the $15,000, she has consistently admitted that she knew she was taking Messino's money out of the UTMA account. Because of this, the matter is distinguishable from Konopka, Gallo, and James, where the attorneys made mistakes about what was going in or out of their accounts, and their misappropriation was negligent not knowing. And this matter is distinguishable from the numerous negligent misappropriation cases where attorneys mistakenly over-disperse funds to their clients or to third parties and fail to discover their mistakes due to their failure to perform monthly record keeping. Not only did respondent clearly know that it was Messino's funds she was taking from the UTMA account, she also knew that she took those funds without the authorization of Messino and without the authorization of any other parties to the transaction. Throughout this disciplinary matter, respondent's claims about the Messino transaction have changed over and over again. The evidence shows when the deal fell through with the bank in October 2017, respondent did not claim to Messino's attorney that Messino had agreed at the time he gave her the deposit that she could take legal fees from the $35,000. In the paper she filed in the special civil part matter in 2018, she claimed that it was because of Messino's breach of his agreement to help Nelson buy the property, she was entitled to damages. Again, she did not claim that Messino had agreed in June 2017 that she could use some of the deposit to pay her legal fees. At the beginning of the OAE's investigation in 2018 through 2019, respondent deliberately lied to the OAE about the activity in her attorney trust account in both November 2017 and June 2018. She initially claimed that those disbursements were related to a transaction involving her sister. Her story changed again, or rather she came clean, so to speak, to the OAE at a July 2019 demand interview. She was honest and admitted for the first time that the funds that had gone out of her UTMA account were Messino's funds and that Messino had not authorized her to take funds out of the deposit money he had given her to hold in 2017. At the hearing, she had the same story. She admitted that Messino had not authorized her to disperse any portion of the $35,000 deposit for her counsel fees. And she admitted at the hearing that she did not inform Messino or any of the interested parties after she removed portions of funds from the escrow funds for her counsel fees. She further admitted at the hearing that she never generated any invoices to document her alleged entitlement to counsel fees.
Counsel, may I ask a question?
Absolutely.
The first explanation was that this $20,000 transfer related to a transaction with her sister. You said that was offered in November?
It was offered in a demand interview, and I can tell you, the hearing transcript is definitely part of the record. So it was the first and second demand interviews that the OAE, that she told the OAE.
About when was that?
I can tell you. First demand interview was August 8, 2018. The second demand interview, January 10, 2019. In a March 2019 letter to the OAE, I believe is when she admitted for the first time to the OAE that Mr. Messino was involved in the transaction. And that was in part because the OAE by that point had subpoenaed bank records and had the information, had the name of Mr. Messino instead of just bank statements, which didn't specifically describe where the money was being paid to.
So when Ms. Tolentino later explained that this was part, that these funds were tied to Messino, did she offer an explanation for the prior statements about this being a transaction with her sister?
Yeah, she admitted that she had made misrepresentations to the OAE previously, and she said she was anxious about being part of a disciplinary proceeding. Again, she had probably also, I can't specifically tell you every detail, but along the way, throughout the OAE's investigation up until that point of March 2019, in letters that she produced to the OA as well. She made similar misrepresentations that it had been her sister's matter, and those were all questions directed about the attorney trust account to Ms. Tolentino.
Thank you.
What Ms. Tolentino did testify to at the disciplinary hearing was that she anticipated receiving $5,000 at the time of the closing when Nelson bought the property from the bank, and that she was anticipating receiving any balance still owed to her for legal fees after the closing in installment payments. Now, for the first time in the brief that she filed with the Disciplinary Review Board and the brief she filed with the Supreme Court in January, she claims that Messino and all of the other parties agreed before she even received the $35,000 from Messino in June of 2017 that she could pay herself $15,000 for her legal fees directly from the $35,000 that she received from Messino in June 2017. In her brief, respondent cites to no exhibit, she cites to no testimony from the record, and she cites to no testimony from any witness at the disciplinary hearing to support her new claim. The evidence in the record and respondent's statements to the OAE, along with respondent's testimony at the disciplinary hearing, all clearly show that the $35,000 was solely a deposit by Messino to buy real estate. These funds were given to respondent to hold so that she could show the bank that her clients had enough money to complete the transaction and to buy more time for the transaction. Here, there's no evidence that Nelson, Messino, or the bank consented to let respondent use any portion of Messino's deposit funds to pay her legal fees. In this disciplinary matter, respondent knowingly misappropriated Messino's escrow funds because she knew that she was taking portions of Messino's escrow money without the authorization of Messino or any other party to the transaction. Despite her claims to the contrary, the evidence does show that respondent borrowed nearly $15,000 of Messino's funds from the UTMA account between June 19, 2017 and October 31, 2017. She did not return those funds until she was ordered to do so by the special civil part judge in June of 2018. An attorney cannot borrow deposit funds in a real estate matter in Ray Blumenstick. An attorney who takes legal fees in advance of the real estate closing knowingly misappropriates funds in Ray Minnison. The OA agrees with the recommendation of the DRB that respondents should be disbarred for knowingly misappropriating escrow funds. Thank you.
Questions, anyone? Thank you. Ms. Tolentino.
Yes, thank you. And I appreciate the fact that I'm able to be heard in person. I understand that Your Honor asked about the de novo. That this is a de novo action. And I did file, mentally I'm just drained. So I mean, for the past 3 years, I've been going back and forth on what I need to bring out and bring forth in my defense. So I don't know if you can consider, I want to start off with requesting that Your Honors, during your deliberation, I know you can't, it wasn't going to stop the time that I had to be here today, but I did file, after careful consideration of what I was facing, I filed a last-minute motion. I don't know how that's going to be considered or determined, that I believe should be something that should be brought to the court's attention and that should be at least placed on the record. My understanding of a judge or somebody that's going to have a decision being heard or make a determination when it should come to recusing themselves, I believe that Justice Gallipoli, he and my mother sat for many years in the Hudson County Superior Court, and they did have, there were issues. People brought it to my attention. I didn't bring it up right away because I didn't know how that was going to be considered or how, would that even make any difference? But as I thought about it more and more, and as I'm getting closer to my actual day of coming before the Supreme Court, I filed this motion that included the fact that I do believe he should have recused himself because of their relationship. I don't know if anybody else on that board knew about the relationship. I've never brought up my mother's name prior to this, never relied upon her name. She has now been deceased since 2010, but because of the relationship that they had, it was a bitter one. And because of things that I know about during that time and things that people brought to my attention, including colleagues, lawyers, and family, that he should have made it known that that relationship existed. Whether that would have made a difference between the decision or not, I'm not sure, but I wanted to at least place that on record. The second thing is that during this entire situation, and the time when it was time for me to now defend myself, I did not decide to have anybody represent me because I know the seriousness of what the charges are. Not that I agree with them, but knowing what I have to face moving forward after practicing law for 25 years and what I need to get into in order, I just have a son that just started Seton Hall Law School. And the monies that I need, I felt like I cannot put out that amount of money to have somebody else represent me, knowing what I'm facing and what the ultimate outcome might be. So I decided to represent myself. It wasn't because I'm being pompous or I think that I'm better than anybody else. It's because of what I know I have to place and get into order for what I may have to do moving forward in my life. I'll be 53 in 2 days. So that's why I am representing myself. And I want your honors to recognize or to at least consider that I had to, in this new world of Zoom, these Zoom hearings, even though I objected to moving forward in that fashion and I understand what the directives were, I went along with it. But I don't believe, even, and I've practiced criminal law for over 20 years, that my credibility could be assessed properly on a Zoom hearing. I went along with it. I complied with what the directives were. But I did make that objection even at the special master's hearing that I should not have to be forced with this type of consequence of being disbarred and being having to defend myself via Zoom. And this is novel for everybody. This is not something that's been in place. I know we have made strides and we are working on trying to make the Zoom honest and do what it needs to do because of the pandemic. But here I am having to defend myself on Zoom. So I think that should be, I don't know why this is still on, something that should just at least be considered during the deliberations. The last thing is that, not the last thing that I want to say about what the OAE just stated, but the last thing that I wanted, that I put in the last minute motion is that there was, in her reply brief to mine, and there was no other briefing schedule, so it was my brief and then her brief, that she specifically focused on a term that was used by the DRB in their decision. And she put in her reply brief on the 17th, the day before it was due. And I received that in the evening as well. So I had no chance to even reply to that because I never knew that was going to be a focus of her reply, of her brief. And I think I should have had an opportunity at least to respond to that specific issue. I think she stated in her brief that she wanted to focus on the decision, part of the decision that said that I made a last minute novel challenge or something to that effect. And I think you all have that anyway, so I don't need to go through that. But I didn't even have an opportunity to respond to that because I didn't know that was going to be an issue that was focused on. So that's the...
Before you jump into the merits now.
Okay.
I wanted to say first, we recognize you have every right to represent yourself, and there is no negative inference of any sort that is drawn with respect to that. Not here, not at the trial court, not at the appellate division. So put that to one side and do not let that hang over your head. You're an attorney. You have every right to speak on your own behalf, and we accept that fully.
Okay. Thank you.
You have brought up the potential need for recusal at the DRB level. What relief are you asking for now?
I'm just asking for you to consider it when you are deliberating whether or not I should be disbarred or not. Because, again, the issue was playing in my mind for a long time. I even tried a case before Judge Gallipoli at one point. I know that's not grounds for a recusal. He was a very fair judge during my case. But there were issues between my mother and himself.
So, short of getting into those details, what is it that you want us to do about that? You understand this is not an appeal.
Okay.
We're not deferring to the rulings of the special master of the DRB. We're making our own judgment here because the review under the court rules is de novo.
Okay.
So with that in mind, is there anything in particular you're asking us to
do? I understand what you're saying. And again, I'm not asking it to be a delay. I just want it to be considered because I'm not really sure. He's the chief counsel of the DRB. I don't know what was stated when they were deliberating. I don't know if that was brought out to...
The point that I'm attempting to address with you is that we're making the decision now. Their vote has no impact. If, you know, we may end up in the same place, we may end up in a different place, but it's a de novo decision by this court.
Okay.
You understand that?
I understand.
And with respect to the remote proceedings that took place, is there anything that you wanted to present that you were unable to present on your own behalf?
I presented as much as I was able to, but I'm not sure, even again, as a practicing attorney, the trials, everything that is of consequence, significant consequence, has been held off unless there has been special permission to come in person. I did a trial in person, limited, recently, because of the fact, how do you assess somebody's credibility on Zoom? That was the huge issue. So the only thing that I would ask for you to consider is that I was forced or compelled to defend myself on Zoom. And I don't know I'm sure everybody paid attention as much as they could. But I don't know if I was intimidated by being on Zoom. I don't know if everything I needed to say or what I wanted to get across came across clearly on Zoom. It's not as if I could run back the actual taping of what occurred. So I'm doing something that's new, and I had to do it because if I didn't do it, I would have been facing other consequences, I assume.
So you've had time to reflect on this issue now, and you filed the motion. I've asked you if there's anything that you weren't able to present, and let me shortcut it by simply saying this. You may make your presentation to us now. Tell us what you want us to consider.
Okay. So just in response, and I know you've read everything that has been submitted, and I rely upon that. Giving you some background, how this occurred is not because somebody complained about me. There was a fee arbitration hearing, and somebody decided that the $1,000 that they paid wasn't adequate. So I wrote a check on my trust account because that's the only thing I had at that time to pay for my fee, my $50 fee, to pay for my answer to the fee arbitration situation. So it wasn't as if even the people that are involved in this, Messino that you keep hearing about, the people that I represented, the Nelsons, filed anything against me. During this, I'm gonna move forward quickly because I know you've read everything, but because of that check, I was audited, so to speak. Moving forward, I worked with the Nelsons, who were my clients for over 10 years in various areas, to help them stay in a property where they were being evicted that they were trying to purchase. I was introduced to different people to try to help them purchase this property, and I was promised, because I was not being paid regularly, Because we had been working for 10 years, they would give me different amounts of money to pay me. They would call me last minute. I would sit in landlord-tenant for the entire day to stop them from being evicted. I did that on numerous occasions. This went on for over 2 years. Different people became owners, and then we had different attorneys involved. And Messina was always known to be the investor that would help them acquire the property. And that's how I met him initially. They promised me that if I continue to do the work, and because I've known them for so long, we had built a relationship, that I would be paid from this transaction. And I, when I tell you I worked day in and day out on this property and helping them not to be evicted.
Who is they?
I'm sorry, the Nelsons.
Okay, you didn't represent Messina, did you?
No, I never represented Messina. He was never my client. Right, not the Nelsons. It'll be from what they, what the agreement was. And it's hard. I wish Messina had appeared during some phase of this, because now it actually hurt me, because I could have questioned him about what was the agreement. Messina purposely did not appear. He knew about these charges against me. He was questioned. He was called by the OAE. And he did not appear. He didn't appear during the special master's part of it. He did not appear during the DRB. So I think actually that would have I would have been able to question him about what our agreement was. Did I do something wrong? Yes, I said that from the beginning. I never held anything back from the OAE. Initially, I said my sister, I was nervous. I've never been through this ever before. I've practiced 25 years, never had anything filed against me. So I didn't want to. I had money that was promised to me. I didn't want to get anybody else involved. It was held in another account, but I don't want to bring forward some other attorney's name and then trigger something with them and having to be investigated based on what I went through, as if I committed murder. Yes.
You understand that if you actually preserved this $15,000 escrow money and put it in someone's account, that may mean the difference between your ability to continue practicing law and not practicing law. And that under those circumstances, you might want to think extra hard about whether you tell us, give us some facts to corroborate what you have asserted at multiple stages. If that money was in an escrow account, you get to decide whether you'll tell us the details.
I don't feel comfortable with what I went through for the past 3 years. I don't feel comfortable with the person I asked to preserve the money for me that I know I was entitled to much more than $15,000. And I understand what you're saying. I understand what the law says. I understand what the cases say. I understand everything.
I'm trying to understand something. Nelson was your client.
The Nelsons were my client.
So the Nelsons were your client. Okay, Messina is on the other end of the deal, right?
Right. Well, he's not.
Whatever agreement you had with the Nelsons, why do you think you had the right to take money from Messina?
Messina was a part of our agreement. It's not as if I didn't know who he was. He was a part of, if you help them keep the property, they wanted to do basically what you call a flip. And which is why I told Mr. Messina to get his own attorney. I'm the one that advised him to get Mr. I didn't tell him to get Mr. Seresky. I told him to get his own attorney. They wanted to do a simultaneous closing so that eventually it would go to something about going to Messina, and then Messina would flip it back to my client so they could stay in the property. That was the agreement. And I told them I was uncomfortable with that because I knew other people with the flipping and the simultaneous closing situation was problematic. So I advised him to get his own attorney, and that's how Mr. Seresky got involved.
Did Mr. Messina ever promise or tell you, you can take my money for Nelson's attorney's fees?
It wasn't in writing. But they told me that while we're doing this transaction, if you continue.
Who is they? I just want to be
my
clear.
My clients and Mr. Messina. Everybody.
And Mr. Messina.
Yes, everybody was, this was an agreement with everybody. Mr. Messina, Mr. Palmer, the Nelsons that I worked with over 10 years with them. They asked me to come into it and that this would be the amount that I would be paid. As we were getting closer and closer to the closing, then everybody's backing away from it. I'm not paid anything.
I have another question. So you indicated that at some point Mr. Messina obtained an attorney on your recommendation.
Yes.
Was his attorney, was this attorney part of this agreement that you would be paid?
No, Mr. Saretsky came in to try to close on behalf of when it was going to be the simultaneous closing. He came in because I didn't want to represent Messina and the Nelsons at the same time.
Did you have any conversations with the attorney by the time he came in with regard to this agreement, this oral agreement between that you're claiming between you and the Nelsons and Messina about this $15,000 that you were going to be paid?
I did, but we didn't have anything in writing. I did speak to Mr. Saretsky about it, but we don't have anything in writing. He was the only person that came to testify at either hearing was Mr. Saretsky, and he didn't say very much. It wasn't much for him to say. So there was nobody else to.
You're an attorney. Why didn't you put it in writing? You're saying that you had a fee agreement between the Nelsons and the Messinos that you're going to be paid, what, $15,000? Like, why didn't you put that in writing? Why didn't you put it in an email? Why didn't you scribble on a piece of paper and have
it was put? It was emails that were back and forth. I gave everything that mostly that the OAE had is what it came from me. She said, I believe she said something about them subpoenaing records from the bank. They didn't have to subpoena records because I gave them everything I had. I gave them my entire file.
Can you point us to any emails, anything in writing where Nelson or more pointedly Messina is confirming it's okay for you to take the escrow money?
There's nothing in writing that says specifically it's okay for you to take money from this, what we gave you to the deposit. No, there's nothing in writing that says that. There's nothing in writing, so I can't. I don't even have my file or most of my file anymore because I gave everything to the OAE. But again, I emphasize this was an agreement with all of us because I had worked with the Nelsons for so long that they kept assuring me, you're going to get paid, this is going to happen, you're going to get paid. And this went on for over 2 years that I worked with them to keep them in this property in North New Jersey. Eventually, I think it was December of 2018, a judge ruled that they had to leave, that they were evicted. And then everybody just dropped out of, nobody backed me at all. So that's why I filed my lawsuit. Filed the lawsuit. There was no counter complaint filed against me. There was no ethics complaint filed against me. No one did anything until, not even the motions, because I had other defendants that were listed. Mr. Saretsky, they didn't even join in the motions to dismiss the matter. It was dismissed, and I had to give the money back because the judge said, Mr. Messina was not your client. You don't have privity to even file a lawsuit against him. That was her decision. You have to give the $15,000 back, and that's what I did. I gave it back immediately. I hand-delivered.
From where? From what
account? From my trust account.
But you said that you had given $15,000 to some other attorney to hold, no?
I did, but they gave me the money.
They gave you the money?
The attorney that I asked to hold the funds that I...
So why don't you tell us who that attorney is?
I don't feel comfortable giving that information. What I've been through, I don't want that person to have to be now investigated, have to trigger something about their having to be audited. I just don't feel comfortable. But I had the money. And when I was ordered to give it back, I was ordered to give it back on a Friday. I hand-delivered it, I think, that afternoon. Or either that Monday.
Are you claiming a privilege with respect to this information? I mean, when you're asked to provide facts and you don't provide them, what's the basis for that?
I don't feel comfortable with, I just don't feel comfortable I guess I am claiming a privilege. I don't feel comfortable with involving somebody else in something that they, I asked them to hold it for me in their escrow account, and I don't feel comfortable with, I mean, I guess if I'm compelled to do it, I can say, did you hold it in your escrow account? Now they have to be audited. Now they have to give up all of their bank information. I don't feel comfortable with doing that to somebody, knowing what I've been through for the past 3 years.
You're not being compelled to give the information, but I gather you understand that there could be consequences if you don't provide it.
I realize that, I never said that, now that looking back at it in hindsight, that I probably should have gone about it differently. So I'm not saying at all and not acknowledging that I did something wrong. Should I be disbarred? That's what I'm here to defend. I'm not saying that there's other sanctions that you could consider. I understand that. But should my life be altered for I don't even know how much longer I might live. But should I don't even know what to do going forward. I don't even know what profession. I've been doing this 25 years. So I'm not saying that I didn't do something where a sanction should be imposed. I'm not saying, please just give me a slap on the wrist. But should I be disbarred? Should I be permanently disbarred from practicing ever when I have no disciplinary history whatsoever? Even the people involved in here did not file anything against me. The main person didn't even appear to make any statements against me. He didn't appear at all, knowing, and he had notice to be, he was asked to appear. He was questioned. I could probably call him tomorrow. He asked me to join in another transaction with them about a year ago, and I declined it. So if there's no animosity, even after the money was given back, we all met in the landlord-tenant court in Essex County, including Mr. Messino, where we all fought for the people to not be evicted. He was there with me. We met. We had meetings. We had meetings with the brokers. We had meetings with everybody. And we met in, I forget the judge's name. He was a landlord-tenant judge at the time, where we all were there as a united front. That's in my paperwork. So it's not like there was animosity and he was mad. He had the $15,000 back and we moved forward. I did not keep the money because I used it. The OAE keeps making allegations against me as if I used it for personal funds. I used it for my son. I did not. I did not use that money for anything other than what I was promised should have been a legal fee for me, which I worked on something for over 2 years. And if you have practiced, and all of you have, as long as I did, $15,000 didn't even come close to what I really should have been paid, based on a.
I'm perplexed. Why did you feel it necessary to give that $15,000 to another attorney to hold in trust? Why didn't you just hold that $15,000 in trust? What was the point of giving it to another attorney to hold in trust?
Well, when it was at the time when they were backing away from it, I didn't keep it in that because first of all, it was in the trust account that they said that was in my son's name. So I took the money and I asked that person to hold it for me while I had the lawsuit pending. So that's why I did it.
Did you have an attorney trust account at that time?
I did. At that time, I did.
And why?
You mean at the time that?
While you were practicing.
I've had several attorney trust accounts.
Why didn't you keep the money in your own attorney trust account, is what Justice Alvin is.
Oh, that's it. I didn't, at that time, I did, that one had been closed. I've had four or five trust accounts that have been closed due to inactivity because I don't normally hold anybody's money in the account. So right now I have one that's open that has $20 in it.
When you gave the $15,000, when you claim you gave the $15,000 to another attorney.
Right. I did not have mine open. It was closed at that time.
Were you holding money from other individuals in connection with other transactions?
No, not at all. No.
This was the only amount of money that needed to be in a trust account?
Yes. I didn't have anybody else's money. I haven't held any trust account funds. I stopped doing real estate probably 20, I've done like maybe five in 20 years. And they were all family members and they all were transactions that occurred quickly. So there was no reason for me to hold anything.
You're saying you had no attorney trust account at the time of the transaction?
Yes.
Ms. Tolentino, on June 20, didn't the attorney of Office of Attorney Ethics on June 25, 2018, found that you transferred $15,000 from your personal checking account into your attorney trust account at the time? It didn't you?
You mean the money that I gave back?
You transferred from your personal account, checking account. You transferred.
Because I had the person. Yes, I did.
You transferred it to an attorney trust account that you had at the time.
At that time, the money that I had to give back. Yes.
Right, but that was your. You took that from your personal funds, $15,000.
I believe so. I believe so. If that's what it says, that's what it says. I didn't. It wasn't as if it came from an attorney trust account back to my trust account.
But you did that in order to replenish the $15,000 that you had.
Yes.
Appropriated.
Yes. I did that immediately. It was, I think we were in court on a Friday. I can't remember the exact date. And whatever the next business day was that the judge ordered, I hand delivered the check.
But I thought the money was in the other attorney's trust account.
It was.
So
and
it
then
went,
they gave it back
so,
to me.
So it went from the
yeah, that
other,
I'm
sorry, it went from the other attorney's trust account to your personal account.
Yes.
To your trust account.
Yes.
So let me just understand. I just want to understand something. Based on what you were explaining previously, you were saying, you know, the OAE is alleging that you spent the money on your personal expenses, and you, correct me if I'm wrong, indicated you didn't spend any money on personal expenses, money that you believed was owed to you for your legal work.
Yes.
So are you arguing that you're saying that you put the $15,000 was in another attorney's trust account, that you did not invade any of Messino's escrow funds? So did you or did you not? So what money are you, so the money that you're talking about that you believed was part of your legal fees, was that part of Messino's escrow funds that you were supposed to be holding in escrow?
That was a part of what he, yes, they gave me the $35,000 to hold, yes.
Okay, so yes, you did invade some of
but
his
But I did
funds.
Not use any of that money whatsoever for any personal funds. There's no evidence. That is, if they had evidence, I gave them all of my bank statements. It doesn't show anything where I bought a house, I bought a car, I spent it on McDonald's for my son, or nothing. There's no evidence that I used that for personal use.
Your bank records show that $15,000 came into your personal account.
$35,000 came into my.
$35,000.
My son's trust account.
Not your son's. You said that your personal account was involved with this transaction with the $15,000.
No, it was not.
Your son's trust.
Oh, you mean when the money that came back to me
money
to give
came back.
Back?
Yeah.
Yes.
So can you prove that that came from somewhere? $15,000 came into your personal account, and then you transferred it to your trust account. Can you prove where that came from?
I believe I gave it to. I thought I turned over everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I'm not just.
I think I yes. I can.
What does that? What do your bank records show?
From 2018, I could probably get whatever it showed at that time. I thought I turned everything over to the OAE.
I'm not saying you didn't. I'm just
yes. I can
a,
show that.
Where it came from?
Yes.
The money when it came to your personal account, was it from? Was it a check or electronic
check? It was a check that I...
And it was from the attorneys, unidentified attorney's trust account to your personal account?
It wasn't from the... I have to look at the bank statements again, but it was a check.
Well, whose check was it? You're not telling us, right? If you're saying you're not telling us who...
I don't feel comfortable doing that, but it was an attorney that was holding the money for me.
Ms. Tolentino, if you go to a bank, you said judge ordered you on a Friday... Friday afternoon or Monday morning,
I think it was
you
Friday.
Had the money and you tendered it and returned it. That money came from this attorney who you haven't identified, correct?
Right.
So how was that money available to you?
It takes time to clear,
even if you would have deposited it Friday afternoon.
It cleared by the time. So if I was ordered, I knew it was immediately. So if I was ordered on a Friday, I explained to them it was something that cleared within a day, because if I had to deliver it on a Friday, by Monday it would have cleared, whatever it is. But it was not a long time. I can deliver the check to Mr. Saretsky. So it cleared right away.
Can I ask you a different question? And correct me if I'm misunderstanding this. On June 30th, 2017, you told the lawyer for the bank that you were still holding the $35,000. Was that true?
Mr. Seretsky? Not the, you mean the lawyer for the bank?
Counsel for the bank.
For the counsel for the bank.
That you were still holding the money that should have been held in escrow, the $35,000. But at that point in time, tell us, was that true?
I believe I told them that I had a deposit that was going, because they didn't ask for the money. The bank just wanted to see that it was...
What did you tell them?
I did say that there's money in escrow.
Did you tell them that you were still holding the money that you had been given in escrow?
I believe so.
And were you? Were you still holding the $35,000 in escrow at that point, or had you already taken some of that money toward fees?
Whatever the date says, because they said I said I took money out after 4 days after that. So whatever that is, the bank did not want the money. The bank just wanted to show proof that there was money held in escrow.
The bank wanted to make sure the money was still there.
Oh, they just wanted to make sure that there was some money there so that we could still continue to work on trying to close on the property.
You don't think the bank wanted to know that all the money was there? All the $35,000?
They didn't know that there was issues with maybe backing out of it. So I'm sure they wanted to know that there was money there in escrow, yes.
Had you already sent $5,000, taken that as legal fees on your own?
I did shortly after we had the discussion with myself, Mr. Messino, and my clients, yes.
Before you told the bank that, before you answered the bank's question, had you taken $5,000 in legal fees?
What date was that?
On June 23rd, did you take $5,000 in legal fees? And then a week later, on June 30, 2017, did you tell the bank the money you were still holding onto the escrow?
Yes.
Those two things sound inconsistent to me. Did you tell the truth to the bank?
I don't remember the bank asking me. I don't remember the bank asking me was anything. And they asked for a good faith deposit. They asked for that. And was it there? And we continued to work on trying to close on the property. I don't remember them asking me the amount and was I taking legal fees? I don't remember having a discussion with the bank about that. Unless maybe the bank, the bank didn't testify unless I missed something.
I'm looking at the DRB opinion, which quotes an email from you to counsel for the bank saying, I have personally received deposit funds in the amount of $35,000 from the lender to ensure that my clients, the Nelsons, are seriously attempting to purchase this property. Were you still holding on to those $35,000?
When I sent that to the bank?
When you sent that?
Yes. I believe so.
I'll ask counsel for the OAE to clarify if there's anything. Can you do so now?
Yes, Chief Justice. The exhibit you're referring to is OAE 38, and it's a June 30th, 2017 email to Kira McFadden, counsel for the bank, and the transfer. Try to get an exhibit for that as well. I believe the transfer was June 24. So that was the point, one of the points made by the OAE is that by that point, June 30th, 2017, the balance in the account had already dropped down below 30,000.
What transfer took place on June 24?
5,000 was removed from account 9792. I believe it's OAE 39. And let me just...
I understand your answer, Ms. Tolentino. You're saying you told the bank in this email, I received the funds. You didn't tell them I was still holding on to the funds.
That's what...
But don't you think the bank really wanted to know, were you still holding the money?
Right. I agree with what you're saying. But they never, it wasn't as if the bank wanted me to transfer the funds to them, or how much was it, or they just wanted to make sure that there was something there, because we had worked on this for 2 years that, because they were about to back out of the deal completely, which they eventually did anyway. So because they, since my clients could not obtain a mortgage and they were trying to work with Mr. Messino, they wanted to just make sure there was something there so they didn't back out of the deal completely.
What else would you like to tell us?
I asked for you to consider the mitigating factors in light of the cases that have been prominent in this state. And you've already seen the arguments and you've read the paperwork that I've submitted and the OAE. But again, I know it's hard even for me because I don't even have anyone that I could have questioned about anything because they didn't appear. But I did rely upon verbal assurances and agreements that I worked on for over 2 years. And I simply was really just trying to help my clients not be evicted in a place that they had lived for so long and they ended up being evicted. But that's not our only relationship, like I said. I worked with them for 10 years for various reasons. And I just happened to, this one issue, this landlord-tenant issue to help them stay in their home, this is how I even was introduced to Mr. Messino. So I had no other relationship with them except for the verbal assurances that I received over the 2 years that I helped everybody to with the landlord eviction. I asked that you consider the no prior disciplinary history, that I've never had any disciplinary history in 25 years. I did comply with the OAE. Again, initially, I was scared, I was anxious. I had never been through this process and I was not forthcoming. But shortly after that, I gave them everything. There was nothing that had to be subpoenaed because I gave them every bank statement, personal, business. I gave them my entire file that I had dealing with this particular matter. I admit that I went about it the wrong way. I should not have been so frustrated to the point where I just felt like I was stabbed in my back and just said, took it upon myself to do what was done. And then I eventually had to pay it back anyway, which I complied with that immediately. I didn't hold anybody's money or say I couldn't pay it. I did file a lawsuit. I was not successful at that lawsuit, and I complied with what the judge ordered. I think that my case is slightly different, and I laid that out in my paperwork and my submissions as well from the Holland Donner case and the Wilson, in that did not, the facts are just different from those cases. My facts in my case are completely different from the Wilson and the Holland Donner matters. And even in the Holland Donner, I think I laid out in my case that I believe that defendant, what was imposed was a suspension as opposed to disbarment. Again, everything is there, you've read it. And I beg the court, I implore the court to just look at my situation differently. I don't believe that I was wrong. And I believe a sanction is appropriate. But permanent disbarment, is something that I don't think I deserve. And I would ask that you consider everything that I've submitted. And even this hearing today, I didn't really realize it was de novo, but I'm actually appreciative that it is. I'm appreciative that I'm able to be here before you in person, and that I'm asking again that something be done or be considered other than my disbarment. And I really don't have anything further to state unless there's any other questions.
Thank you, Ms. Tolentino. We'll take the matter.